I hope you're ready for this message.
Amen.
It's a message that I had to preach to myself, or the Lord preached it to me first. Now I'm going to give it to you. I'm saying it with a smile on my face. James chapter 3, please. You know what James 3 is about? You know that little thing you got in your mouth?
That's right.
Little thing, that little muscle thing you got there in your mouth that, that God allows you to use to talk and to communicate. You know the Bible has a lot to say about the tongue? Yeah. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue. The Bible has a lot to say about the right use of the tongue and the bad use of the tongue. Do you know we all have a problem with the tongue? Come on, sit there and just admit. Just say, yes, I do. Say that.
Yes, I do.
We all have a problem with our tongues.
Amen.
Now, some maybe have more problems than others. I'm not going to stand up here and point the finger at anybody, because when I do, I've got three pointing right back at me. So I got to be careful about that. And I have a problem with my tongue. Just ask my wife. And she has a problem with her tongue. Just ask me.
Amen.
But we all have a problem with our tongues. Pride takes over, and sometimes we say things we shouldn't say.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't communicate properly. God gave us the tongue to communicate. God gave us the tongue, first of all, to talk to Him.
Amen.
That's why He gave us the tongue. Animals do not communicate like we communicate. But, hey, if you haven't learned this yet because of public school, we are different than the animals.
Amen.
Amen. We are completely different than the animals. You're not a relative of the chimpanzee or whatever. You're not a relative of an animal somewhere. You are a human being.
Amen.
God made you different. God made you special.
Amen.
God made you with a purpose and with a plan and a program. God did that for you and for me. God loves us greatly. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love the animal kingdom. I believe that God does. And God has His way of communicating with the animal kingdom. And the animal kingdom has a way of communicating with one another.
Right.
I don't know, you hear a dog bark and you have no clue what they're saying. Woof, woof, what does that mean? What are they talking about? You ever wonder what a dog says?
Yeah.
You ever hear a cat meow and wonder what it says? You ever hear the chickens out there, park, 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 park? What are they saying? What are they talking to one another? Are they just making noises? Do they communicate? I don't know. I guess they have their way of communicating. You go to the zoo and you see them making noises and you can't really understand. Please don't pretend you know what they're saying. All right? You don't know what they're saying. I know there's people that claim that they can talk to the animals and then the animals can talk to them and they know what the animals are saying and they listen to the whales in the ocean. Oh yeah, the whale is saying this. You don't have no clue what the whale is saying. But you know what? When we use our tongues, we know what we're saying. And everybody around us knows what we're saying. Your husband and your wife know what you're saying. Your children know what you're saying. When you find James 3, stand with me please as I read a bunch of the chapter. Everybody there, James 3, I want you to follow along. I want you to pay close attention. This message is for every one of us in this room. I hope you're not standing right now saying, I don't need this message. My tongue is fine. I say good things all the time.
Oh, sure.
James 3, I'll read, you listen and follow along. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. Did you notice that? In many things we offend how many?
All.
If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Can a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Father, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Help me, Lord, with it. I need help with this. I need help with my tongue. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us today and bless, speak to our hearts. Lord, you know what everybody needs in this room. Maybe there's some people listening online today that I'm sure that need this message. So, Father, I pray that you'd use it. You put it in the Bible for a reason. You don't put things in the Bible without a reason. You don't just do it to fill up a page. Lord, it's there for our learning. It's there for our good. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us today to realize how much control that we don't have over our tongue. Lord, speak to our hearts and souls right now. If there's a lost soul here or listening online, I pray that that soul would be saved. And Lord, help us to leave here better than when we came. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know that God tests our faith by our tongue? I want you to think about this message here for the next 30 minutes or so. Has anybody in this room ever been bugged? You know what it means to be bugged? Anybody ever have their telephone bugged for whatever reason? Did you ever go somewhere and have, you know, a bug there where people were listening in on your conversation? Probably not, right? I mean, I have. I do remember a time, though, in my past when we used to have a party line. You remember the party line?
Yeah.
And used to be able to, we got this down to a science. We could lift up half of the receiver and put our finger on the other half. And we put the receiver to our ear, and then we'd slowly let our finger come off. And we could hear everything that was being said on the party line.
Neighbors.
People up the street, down the street, they're talking away, and we're listening to every part of their conversation. And then they would, all of a sudden, they realize that somebody was, who's listening on this line? Hang up that phone. And we'd flip the phone. Or our mother would come in. What are you doing? What are you kids doing? Ruin it for us. You're having fun here. We're listening to this conversation. Mom, you want to listen to these conversations. Man, you can learn a lot about the neighbors up and down the street. Do you know that your conversation is bugged by God Almighty? Do you know that God hears everything that you say? Let me ask you a question. How would you like it if we were to figure out some way here in church that we could drop a microphone into your house? Would you like that? Would you like it if we could put a hidden microphone into your house? And then turn it on. Record whatever you said through the week, and then turn it on and play it Sunday morning. How many of you would like us to do that? Nobody wants to do that. But do you know that your conversation is being recorded by God Almighty every day?
Amen.
You ever think about that? My conversation is being recorded by God Almighty. Do you know God has dropped His microphone into every single home that's in this room? God has bugged your communication. So everything that you say, God has heard. And God is listening to your conversation. Whether it's good or bad, God listens to the communication. How would you like it, husbands and wives, if we dropped the microphone into your communication as a couple? No, you probably wouldn't like that, would you? You'd say, Pastor, you have no business listening in on our conversation as a husband and wife. And you know what? You'd be right. I don't have any business doing that. But God does. God's listening to your communication. Husbands, God knows what you say to your wife. God knows your attitude towards your wife. And wives, God hears your attitude towards your husbands. God hears us when we speak pleasant words and nice words, and He likes that, but He also hears the bad words that we use. I hope and pray there's nobody in this room and nobody listening online that curses. If you curse, can I just say this? Shame on you. You don't need to curse. Well, so-and-so made me do it. I said this on Sunday. Nobody makes you swear. You swear and curse because you want to swear and curse. You're trying to just get it off your chest or whatever it is. You're blowing up. Nobody makes you do anything. You do this because you want to do it. We need to watch our words. We need to watch our language. We need to watch our communication. I want you to, when you leave here today, I want you to think this through. I want you to know that every word you say, God is listening. Young people, God hears what you say. You think maybe that you're exempt from this? No, you're not exempt. God listens to every word that you say, young person, child, adult, young adult, old timers. God hears what we say. God knows exactly every word we say. I want you to think about this. Every time you're communicating with somebody, I want you to pretend there's a microphone hanging in front of your face. I want you to pretend that there's a lapel mic attached to your shirt, your dress, your glasses, or whatever. I want you to think about that you are, your words and your communication is being recorded by God Almighty. Amen. He's far more important than me. Amen. Or the church. I was joking about, hey, how would you like it if we dropped the microphone into your house? How would you like it if we dropped the microphone into your car when you're driving down the road? And somebody pulls out in front of you. How'd you like the microphone? How would you like it if we played it back to you next Sunday when you said all those words you shouldn't have said? Or guys, you're out there doing something, working, and you slam your thumb, you hit your knee, you stub your toe, and there's a microphone right next to you. And it was all recorded. And we'll play it next week. Would you like that? No, you wouldn't like that. Do you know how important the tongue is? Now, this is a little something funny here, but research shows that women speak about 20,000 words a day. Research shows that men speak about 7,000 words a day. This is the research I was able to. God, you speak about 7,000 words. Give or take, some of you, that's all you do is you talk. Some of you ladies, that's all you do is you talk. But research shows that about 20,000 words a day, women speak. And about 7,000 words a guys speak. I want you to think about that. If God was going to put in book form, volumes of the words that you said, would you enjoy going back rereading your book of all the words you said in a day? There's about 90,000 words in an average novel. A novel, let's just say 300 pages, some novels are less, some novels are more. But let's just say that there's about 90,000 words in a novel. And when you think about that, I wrote this down. Think about how many words you speak in a year. I did the math for you. Men speak 2,555,000 words a year. That's the average man. A woman speaks about 7,300,000 words a year. That equates to this. Listen, for guys, that's 28 books. 28 books. Ladies, you got a lot of reading to do. 81 books for the ladies. 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. That's equivalent to about 28 books for the guys and 81 books for the ladies. Now listen, I enjoy reading novels. You know that. I read. I love reading. We read a lot. We just like reading. But I don't know if I'd want to go back and reread my novel. Would you like to go back and reread your novel?
No.
But you know what? God has your novels recorded. And He knows everything you've said in the last year. 28 books, guys. Now listen, you take somebody old like me, that's a lot of... I didn't do that math because I was afraid to do it. 68 and a half years of books, 28 a day. I'm 28 a year. That's a lot of volumes of words that I have said down through my life. Can I say this too? I wouldn't want you to read my books either. I don't think you'd want anybody else to read your books either. There's some things that you've said, the way that you communicated, that you're embarrassed about.
Amen.
Yes or no?
Amen.
Some of you young kids, maybe you haven't gotten that far yet, but some of us adults here, we've said some things, we've used some words in our language that we wish we didn't say, we wish we didn't talk that way, we wish we didn't communicate that way. There may be even some things in the recent past that you've said to somebody that you wished that you didn't say that.
Amen.
But here's the problem. Once you say the word, it's out there forever.
Right.
It's never coming back.
Right.
When you say something to somebody, it's there. It's in their ears. It's gone into their brain. It's seeped down into their heart. And they've already heard what you had to say about them or to them. The damage has already been done. Sorry, but the damage has been done. When you say things, you spew things out of your mouth that you know you shouldn't say.
Amen.
The damage is done. You're writing a book every day with the words you say. Husbands, remember, 28 books a year. How do you talk to your wife? Quiet in here. Wives, how do you talk to your husband? You're writing books. You're saying words. And I think sometimes we forget that God is recording those. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, turn over to Matthew chapter 12 and I'll show you. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 34. Now, I will say this. I need this message just as bad as anybody else in this room. Matthew, chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Amen.
For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be, say it,
condemned.
This is why I'm saying that your words are being recorded by God Almighty. And someday, you know, the Bible talks about the books being open. Book of Life is there. Other books are going to be open. You ever wonder what the other books are?
Yeah.
I got an idea what it might be.
Yeah.
It might be the books that you've been writing with your mouth, with your tongue, and with your language for the last umpteen years. God's going to open up those books and show, this is what you've said. Look what you said, Terry. You see what you said there on that day? That was not good what you said. And He's going to open up all of our books. Because remember, we're writing a book. And we're adding the words from what we say into those books. Again, God has bugged your conversation. God is bugging your conversation. You leave here today, you get in the car, vehicle, whatever, and you go home, your language is being, your words are being bugged by God Almighty. You go home and you get upset at your wife, you get upset at your husband, God has bugged your home. Like it or not, it doesn't matter. God has bugged your home. God has bugged your kitchen table. Right in the middle of the kitchen table where you guys sit around and you talk about things, there's a microphone sticking up right there. Oh, you can't see it, but it's there.
Amen.
God is listening. If I can get anything into your brain today, that's what I want you to think about. That every type of conversation that you have with somebody else, guys, you go to work, you get into a conversation with other guys at work. Gals do the same thing. Hey, I worked at a steel mill with guys and gals. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Gals can talk just like the guys.
That's right.
They can use the same kind of language that the guys use.
That's right.
I hate cursing.
Amen.
I can't stand cursing. I don't like cursing. I would tell people, hey, you don't talk like that.
Yes.
I don't like the way that you're talking. Never mind. God has a lot to say in His book.
Amen.
About the tongue. It says there in verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths." Now, listen, some of you know horses a lot better. I did a little research and I came up with the average horse. Horses run from about 900 to about 2,000 pounds. They get bigger, they get smaller. I understand all that. But that's a big horse. That's a heavy animal. You can put this little thing, this little bit in the mouth and put some reins behind it, and you can control that animal.
That's right.
For the most part, right? I mean, if it's trained, you got it broken, you can make it go fast. Right? And then all of a sudden you can pull back on that little bit, and you can make the thing slow down. And it can just trot. And then if you want it to stop, you just pull back, right? Is that how you stop a horse?
Whoa.
Somebody help me out here. Is that how you stop? How do you stop a horse?
Yeah.
Whoa! What are you doing? You're saying, whoa, and you're pulling back on the bit, right? Is that how you stop a horse?
Yeah.
Valerie, how do you stop a horse? Help me out here. How do you stop a horse?
That's another
dream,
but yeah.
Please, don't get into the technicality. Help me out here. Is it the thing that they put in the mouth? That's what the Bible says. So say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. She went to college for this. I don't need college verbaling stuff. I just want to, yes, you pull back a little bit, right? How do you make them go in reverse? I don't put it in. Do you put it in R?
No.
Do you have an R, a D, a first, second? No. Why do you make them go backwards?
You just keep the pressure on the reins.
Thank you. Pull back and it goes, it backs up, right?
Yes.
How do you make it turn left?
Pull the left.
How do you make it go right? Pull the other. It's the bit in the horse's mouth, right?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm just going by what the Bible says. The little bit, you put it in the horse's mouth and it obeys the person operating the horse. That's how it works. Somewhat. I know it takes training. I know you got to get out of the thing and say no and talk to it and pet it and do all of these things. You got to do that. You got to train them. But the Bible says you stick a bit in their mouth and you can pretty much control it. And then the ship, which they be so great and are driven, verse 4, of fierce winds, yet they turned about with a very small... The helm of a ship is the steering mechanism of the ship.
Yeah.
That's what the helm is. The helmsman is the pilot of the ship, and he controls the ship. Now, I know today, even Seahope, I've been on Seahope's ship, and he's got the big wheel that you can turn, but he says he doesn't use the wheel anymore. It's all GPS-driven. So that throws that up right out of the way. But he can, you know, push some buttons and do some dials and sit back and just, there the ship goes. But periodically, because of the winds, it'll get off course and he's got to get it back in course again. got to get it back on course. But for the most part, you would sit there and you would steer the ship with some kind of a helm, either the big, you know, the wheel. And you, when you turn the wheel on a ship, the rudder moves.
That's right.
You turn it the other way and the rudder moves. And that little rudder, some of them are big, I know, for big ships, but for the most part, it's not as big as the ship.
Right.
It's a small, it's very small compared to the ship. And wherever that helmsman or that pilot, or the Bible uses the term of governor, the governor, that's what he does, he's controlling the ship based upon the way he steers the ship. And the way that rudder moves one way or the other. Some of you have small boats, and that's how you do it. You drive the boat, right? It's got a steering wheel. You sit there, right?
Yeah,
steering wheel. And when you turn the steering wheel, the little rudder in the back goes one way. You just turn it the other way, and it goes that way. You can turn this way. You can turn that way. And that's how you control a ship, a boat. Right, Jim? You got a boat. That's how you do it. It's not complicated. It's simple. So ships can be controlled by a little rudder. A horse, 900, 2,000-pound horse, can be controlled with a little bit in its mouth. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Big fires are started by little fires.
Yeah.
Forest fires usually start by a spark somewhere, either lightning or some campers out there, and you didn't... He or she didn't extinguish the campfire. It starts with just a little thing. How many times have you heard that somebody's driving by smoking a cigarette and threw the cigarette butt out, and that was enough to ignite an entire forest in fire? That little tiny cigarette butt can start an entire destructing fire that destroys homes and kills people and ruins mountains and all kinds of things. Just that little thing. That's how powerful your tongue is. In chapter 3, we see the power over the tongue that we need to have. We can't even control it. Some, not all of you, please bear with me. Some of you have a harder time controlling your tongue than other people do.
Amen.
The least little thing sends you off. Blows you up. And the first thing many times we do when we get upset, the first thing we do is we start vocalizing it, verbalizing it. Thank you. This is what we do. We start talking about it. We start yelling. Some people curse and swear. Shame on you if you do that. But some people do that. Some people immediately lash out at the person that spoke to them. Sometimes a wife will speak to their husband and immediately the husband's got to lash out at his wife. Shame on us, men, for doing that. And vice versa. Listen, we're married. We've been married, it'll be 50 years next year. That's a long time. To live under the same roof.
A lot of books.
To be able to get along. You can get along by learning how to communicate. By learning what to say. But more importantly, what not to say. Yes. Come on.
Amen.
We have to learn what not to say. So much. Hi, Emma. She's waving to me. That's it. We have to learn what not to say.
Amen.
In order sometimes to keep peace within our home. To keep peace within our marriage. Is, guys, sometimes you just need to keep your mouth, say it,
shut.
Kids, sometimes you got to learn to just keep your mouth shut. God gave us two ears and one tongue. We are to speak less and listen more. Amen. Speak less, listen more. If you don't have something nice to say, what do we teach our kids about that all the time? If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? We preach that to our kids, and yet we adults don't know how to live what we preach. You know what that makes us? Hypocrites.
Amen.
Hypocrites. Yes, you and I are hypocrites when we tell our kids what to do or what not to do, and yet we go ahead and do it ourselves. We're a hypocrite. Just admit it. Reduce your pride and admit that sometimes we are hypocrites when it comes to using our tongues and saying the things that we say. Most marriages are destroyed because of the tongue. Yes, finances can get in there. Yes. Dreams of the man, the dreams of the woman, the things that we want to do. I'm so thankful that I have a buffer back there. She's my buffer.
Amen.
Did you know that? Kathy's my buffer. You know what a buffer does? A buffer takes these big dreams that I have, these things, that these grandiose things that I want to do, and she says, "Wait a minute, you dummy, what are you talking about? What in the world are you doing?" And she's my buffer. She calms me down. She slows me down. She says, "You're an idiot." Well,
much,
see? Admit it, dear. Come on. We're helping one another here. This is therapy class. No, but she buffers me. She calms me down. Jack Hiles used to say that the wife is the Holy Spirit of the marriage.
Amen.
Ladies, you should say, that's nice. That's something nice. You should say amen.
Amen.
But that's what the wife is. She's the buffer. She takes these, us bunch of guys, a bunch of idiots, and they calm us down and they make us think. She said, most of the time when I come up with some crazy idea, she says, "Did you pray about it?"
Yeah. Well, a little bit.
Normally we don't pray a lot about those things. We just come up with the idea.
Yep.
I'll never forget when I wanted to go into the roofing business.
In October.
In New York. Had a fantastic job at Crucible Steel. Loved what I did. I really did. Great job. Made decent money. Good position. Honey? Think I'm going into the roofing business. Didn't know how to roof. Didn't like heights at the time. Didn't know what I was doing. But a friend of mine, a Christian friend of mine, he's a good Christian man, approached me and wanted me to go into business with him, partnership. Wow. And he gave me all these great ideas. We're going to get all of these jobs. We're going to make all this money. And I said, "Wow, this is good. Honey, I'm quitting my job and I'm going to be a roofer." Stupidest decision I ever made in my life. For the next 6 months, we're buying a house, car payments. I don't know, forget how many kids we had at the time. 35 kids. Lots of kids, lots of bills, and I'm going into the roofing business. Go make money. And at the end of 6 months, I'm begging for my job back at Crucible Steel. But God was in that. I made one phone call, and I got my very job back. Got all 4 weeks of my vacation back. Got my same office back. Got my same position back. And walked right in like I never left. Thank you, Lord. The Lord was saying, "You are such an idiot." It's my middle name. But you're such an idiot. When you're done playing your game with the roofing business, let me know. And so I did. I begged God, "God, you've got to help me here. This is..." And it was tough between Kathy and I. I mean, she's caring about the house, and she's wondering how we're going to get groceries. I'm saying, "Hey, don't. I got this. I can do it. How are we going to pay for the house? Don't worry about it. Right? Don't worry about it. Nah, I got this." But she's concerned. How are we going to pay the bills? Because the money wasn't coming in like I thought it was going to come in. I finally had to humble myself and realize that that was a stupid, stupid decision. She didn't tell me to do the job, but she did stand behind me. But when I got my senses back, she was there, kind of like, "I told you so." In a loving way. But we need to stand with one another. We need to communicate with one another. She tried to stop me from doing that, but I had my mind set. Guys, you get your mind set, what are you going to do? You're going to do what you want to do. But I learned a very, very valuable lesson that I've never forgotten in my life.
Amen.
We need to communicate with one another. We need to talk things out. That is so important between a husband and a wife. Talk things out. It's not your way or the highway, sir. Ma'am, it's not your way or the highway. You need to sit down across from one another without yelling and screaming and talk. Remember, the microphone is right there between the two of you. God's listening. God's checking out what you say. The tongue. Oh, I have so much scripture here, I want to get into some of this. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. When you do a study on the tongue and our speech and our way that we communicate, you'd be astonished at how much the Bible has to say about communication. How much the Bible has to say about the tongue. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Ephesians 4:29, look at these verses. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Stop right there. How would you think that you could grieve the Holy Spirit of God in verse 30? In the context of what it's talking about. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Look at the next verse. Verse 31. Let all what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know that you grieve the Holy Spirit by the way you talk? You grieve the Holy Spirit by the words you say. You grieve the Holy Spirit by the sentences that you ramble off with your mouth to your spouse or to your child or to somebody else at work. You are literally grieving the Holy Spirit of God, sir, ma'am, the way that we talk to one another. And it causes bitterness. Clamor is... Well, I'm kind of speaking a little louder. But clamor is loud speak. I'm preaching. That's okay. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling with you. You know what I mean? But when you get into an argument, you ever get an argument with somebody?
Yeah.
Usually the argument starts off something like this, but before you know it, you've got to out-volume the other person, right? Most maybe you're the perfect couple, maybe that doesn't happen with you. But you like to out-volume. You like to turn up the volume. She says something, what do you got to do? Say it a little bit louder. Or vice versa. He says something, and ma'am, nice wife, you got to say something a little louder. And the volume just keeps going up and up and up and up before you know you're yelling and screaming at one another. And bitterness starts. You're not tender-hearted anymore. You know how it all started? With your communication. With your tongue. With your mouth. The words you said has now caused a real serious problem in your marriage or in your relationship with somebody. Proverbs 15. We memorized as Kathy and I many, many years ago. Never forget it. We put it right on our refrigerator, I think. Proverbs 15:1. Memorized it. Proverbs 15:1. Sometimes I have to quote this to myself. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up what?
Anger.
Can I say this? Every person, we got a few people here today, every one of you should memorize, if you don't have that verse memorized, I want you to go home and memorize it this afternoon. How many of you do have it memorized? Quite a few, probably, yeah, several of you. Some of you don't have it memorized. You need to memorize it. That's your homework for this afternoon. Memorize Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness.
Amen.
And I say that I've been in that part with the fools before.
Uh-huh.
Probably some of you have been classified in that too.
Yeah.
Fool with your mouth. Yep. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer, that's speaking, that's the prayer of the upright is his delight. Verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Verse 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. God help us, men. Listen, are you listening to me, guys? Husbands, men, God help us. A wrathful man, a man that has wrath, a man that gets upset quick and easy and fast, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. You think that your anger is going to appease your wife or your family? Wrong. Your anger makes it worse. That's all it does. A wrathful man stirreth up strife. But he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. That goes back to Proverbs 51. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Learn these verses. Verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. God help us. God help us with our mouth. God help us with our tongue. In this chapter 3 of James, we see the power to direct. That's how important the tongue is, the power to direct in verses 1 through 4. Secondly, we see the power to destroy in verses 5 through 8. And then in verses 9 through 12, the power to delight. You know, you can say sweet things with your mouth, with your tongue, and that brings delight to other people. Guys, when we talk nice to our wives, doesn't that bring delight to them? Come on. Help me out here. Yes, it does. Wives, same thing with your husband. When you speak nice things to your husband, when you speak nice things to your kids, and kids, when you speak nice things to your parents, you'll get on their good side for them. The other thing is, we don't always have to win the argument.
Amen.
I know some of you have to win the argument. No, you don't have to win the argument. I know that you want to win the argument, right? I want to win the argument. I got to win this argument. They're not going to win. And you do everything in your power to make sure that you are the winner of your argument. And what you're doing is you're destroying your relationship. You're not winning the argument. Remember how destructive the tongue is? Remember how destructive the tongue can be? If God didn't, if we don't have a problem with our tongue, this passage of Scripture would have been excluded. Proverbs 15 and so many other verses we don't have time to look at.
Amen.
God could have left them out. He could have put something else in the place of them. Chapter 3, going to put something else there that we need. But is it maybe because we need this? I read this yesterday and I couldn't get it off my mind. I said, okay, Lord, this is what you want. This is what I'll do. I struggle with my tongue. I struggle. I've always struggled with my tongue in the last 68 and a half years. I had teachers in public school that didn't like my tongue. One time the teacher looked at me and says, Terry Fenton, you're not going outside. I says, good, I don't want to go out in that desert anyway. That was my response back to my teacher. It didn't gain me any advantage at all. But that was the problem that I had. And that was my pride just wanting to respond back to the teacher. I'll never forget that day of my life. I wish I could go back and tell that poor teacher that I'm sorry. I don't think I ever apologized to her I don't know where she is right now, but no, she's probably dead and gone. She's a lot older than I was. But we say things, and sometimes, you know, God recorded that, and God kept that in my mind for a reason.
Yeah.
That's never escaped my mind when I said to that poor teacher that day. Out of all the other 30 kids, she was dealing with me, and I had to respond that way. I'm not proud of that. We laugh at it. You laughed at what I said, but it's not something that's laughable. Do you have a problem with your tongue? Do you know that you can get it taken care of? At least here at the altar in a few minutes, we have an invitation. You can come and say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I can't control my tongue. Lord, you know I can't control my tongue. Lord, I have a hard time controlling my tongue. I have a hard time communicating, or whatever the case may be. But please remember, when you leave here today, God has your communication bugged. You're being bugged. It's by God Almighty, the one that we will all answer to someday. Watch your mouth. Watch the way you talk. Husbands, watch the way you talk to your wife. They don't deserve sometimes the way we talk to them.
Amen.
Please. They don't deserve that. And wives, the way, if you talk to your husband in a negative way, they don't deserve that either. I know you say, well, yes, they do. No, they don't. Nobody deserves to be talked to like sometimes we talk to them.
Right. Amen.
Employees, employers, school, people that work together in the workforce, watch what you say. With God, you can control your tongue.
Amen.
You can't control your tongue without outside of God.
Amen.
We know that. Here's our problem. We think we can, and so we leave God out of our communication. We leave God out of the way that we talk, and that's when we get in trouble. You bring God into your communication, and you stop and think, and remember that God's got a microphone attached to your throat.
Amen.
Maybe you'll watch what you say. And how you say it. Father, thank you for the passage of Scripture that we looked at today. Father, you know I need help with my tongue. I need help with my words. I need help with my communication. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts and souls in this room right now. One of the most important things that we can do as a Christian is learn how to communicate in the right way. Oh God, I pray that you'll help us. Help us men, help us husbands, to think before we speak to our wives and to our families. God, I pray that the wives here, the ladies in the church, would watch the way they talk to their children and their husbands. I pray that the children here would pay attention to the way that they communicate with one another and the way that they talk to their parents. I've heard children, even in this church, speak very harshly to their parents, and they have no right to do so. Father, please be with us and help us, Lord. We need your help. We need your Holy Spirit. If there's somebody not saved here today, Lord, they need you badly. Please convict them of that. But Lord, convict all of us about our tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. The altar is open. If you want to come and pray, you can come and pray. You can pray right where you're at. I understand that. You can do business with God no matter where you are.